Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals, who of course will open up at homestand tonight against the Los Angeles Angels. That'll be here on 610 Sports Radio. But yesterday, the Royals, for the first time in six tries, beat the Chicago White Sox. Finally get over the hump against them. They had the Royals number all last year, and it looked like the way the series had started that perhaps that was going to continue. But the Royals got that win, of course, yesterday, 4-3, and it was Carlos Santana coming up with the big home run late in that game, and then Benintendi with a bunt that turned out to work out, and of course the extra innings that led to Michael A. Taylor already starting on second base. It was nice to see Carlos Santana and Andrew Benintendi for the
big
first
moments.
Time so far in seven games have an impact at the plate, and they certainly did yesterday. We'll talk more about the bullpen here momentarily, but obviously for them to get over the hump against the White Sox, I think it's just big for the psyche of the team. We talked to Whit about that, and of course if you missed our conversation with Whit Merrifield, we'll bring that back to you coming up at 1:30.
It was a huge win. As I had said earlier, and we'll talk about it again in more a moment, it's their biggest win in 2 years. Seriously, biggest win in 2 years. And it's Brady Singer Day, so happy Brady Singer Day to you and yours. Next up on What's Trending, the Masters concluded yesterday with plus 4,000, as Gold just told me, underdog Hideki Matsuyama coming out victorious. He shot a plus one final round, didn't matter. Still won by a stroke over Zalatoris, who I guess Witt could have told us was worth betting on, by the way.
I know, how about that?
He's like, oh, plays like the Masters, watch the guy play the course. You're like, Witt, damn.
Yeah, where was that
could
knowledge?
Could have won some money on Zalatoris.
Where was that on Monday?
He told us, in fairness, he did say he was keeping some of his picks quiet because he didn't want Gordon and other people to steal him. So
he said Wade Davis won the Masters pool, though.
Good for Wade. Well, he had Matsuyama. That's a pretty good way to win it. That's a pretty good way to win it, just to have the winner in general. Not a bad start. Some other names at the top. Jordan Spieth obviously had a nice final round at minus two and finished 7-under, and John Rahm in the top five as well. I think the big surprise was Dustin Johnson didn't even make the cut. So we didn't even see him at all in the final two rounds of the tournament. Kind of a shocker considering he just won it like 4 months ago.
Yeah, no drama, really.
I guess longer than that, but not way longer than that.
I mean, no drama, really. There was four minutes. 4 minutes of it where Matsuyama hit the water, and then Schauffele on the very next hole, he finds the water on 16, and so Matsuyama was able to win. And what a moment for him, and what that means for the game of golf, and certainly what it means for have a whole country behind you if you're Hideki there in the country of Japan, and just massive for the golf world. Really cool to see that. Next up on What's Trending, we know Alex Rodriguez had been trying to buy a sports franchise. Yeah. He almost got the Mets deal done. That didn't happen. Well, now reports are that Alex Rodriguez and another partner there are finalizing a deal to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. Also, the WNBA Lynx up there in Minnesota as well. The price expected to be in the $1.5 billion range.
I mean, he's not worth that kind of money.
That's why you get some partners with you there.
That's why billionaire, as you mentioned, Mark Lohr is part of that.
How much do you think A-Rod's worth?
$400 million.
$350.
Okay. Yeah. He's not worth $1.5 billion. Look,
I was watching Shark Tank recently because I watched that. Wait, it's not. There's reruns of it on like late at night at 10:30, and before I fall asleep,
sure,
I'll randomly flip it on. A-Rod was on the panel. Like, he's rich, so I guess automatically that means whatever, you're an investor. Okay, what a... I'm like, I was listening to him compare himself to the other investors who have much more of a background in business than A-Rod. And I'm just like, what honestly is he bringing to the table other than money on those investments on Shark Tank? Like this company for like
If it was like a cookie, baseball bat company.
No, but it wasn't. It was like the one that last night he was investing in was this keto-friendly cookie. And I'm like, what on earth does he know about the other guys on the Mr. Wonderful talking about distribution? What on earth does A-Rod know about distribution other than just throw a bunch of money at it?
probably that. He might know somebody who knows somebody.
I was just saying, like, I wouldn't want him investing in my company.
Got enough money. I'll have a conversation with A-Rod. Although,
not when you have other ones offering the same thing that actually have done stuff. Anyway.
Well, now I want A-Rod to talk to Patrick Mahomes because the boys, and to bring the Timberwolves to Kansas City where they can stop being an absolutely cursed franchise.
Moving out of Minnesota.
They are a cursed franchise. They're awful.
I'm not moving out of Minnesota.
You remember when they just gave Zach LaVine away for free?
I do. Remember the Jimmy Butler mess? The Jimmy Butler mess?
For free.
You wanted out?
Yeah, the Jimmy Butler mess. Or we could go back to when they took back-to-back point guards in the draft right before Steph Curry. They took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio right before Steph Curry was available. They're cursed.
Ah, Ricky Rubio.
Bring him to KC and fix it instead. Lastly on What's Trending, Mizzou transfer Xavier Pinson. We are waiting to find out where his landing spot was going to be as he had entered the transfer portal a few weeks ago. Well, he's heading in conference to LSU. This might have seemed like sacrilege before, back when coaches would pretend, like in football, like Bill Snyder wouldn't let guys go in the Big 12, and they still just sit out a year, by the way, on top of those decisions. Well, now you can go whatever the hell you want, and you don't have to sit out for any amount of time. So Xavier Pinson heading straight to LSU, a solid pickup for them.
Yeah, transfer market just keeps on moving, doesn't it? No doubt about that. Missouri had already known that he was transferring, but he ends up in the SEC. That's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold, we're about 20 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 in our cash contest. Also, Cody did bring in some pizza, right?
Yeah, I did.
We already tried the Uncrustables on the air today. We've done Serta's Kickstart drink, and you brought a cookie as well. I haven't ate that. And then we've
when are you going to eat the cookie?
Well, I got to balance out everything because
you need something savory.
Straight up sugar rush since 10 o'clock this morning. And this energy drink, it tasted much better the first three sips, and now it's way too syrupy. And I'm not an energy drink guy.
It's not directly pizza. It is a pizza bread bake from Nadi Hussein, who was on the Great British Bake Off.
Oh yeah,
that's
one recipe. Well, now that you mentioned her, now I know exactly what you're talking about.
So it doesn't have like
now
sauce.
Yeah,
it is. The dough is brushed with sriracha. It's got cheddar and pepperoni on it, and then it's seasoned with Italian seasoning, and I had to, like, make dough that has it all baked into there, and then it bakes with all the cheese and stuff in the middle.
We're going
to
try this here in the next 20 minutes or so. The only question I have, again, is the sriracha part of it. Hopefully it's not a strong flavor of sriracha.
I don't know what you got against sriracha.
I don't like sriracha. That's all.
Do you like any hot sauce or just...
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Like, sriracha, Gold, you would say sriracha is not one of the spiciest of hot sauces. That's pretty low on the spectrum, so you're probably good.
So we'll try that coming up in a little
bit brushed with it. It's not like a whole sauce.
We'll find out, won't we?
I did bring some marinara if you guys would like to dip in it, because it feels like it's almost kind of like maybe not quite a breadstick, but it kind of feels like it's in that range a little bit.
Never had it. We'll find out.
I had never had it either. This was the first time making this dish.
Have you tasted it yet?
Yeah, I had it for dinner last night.
So we're getting leftovers.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I don't have enough time to make it in the morning.
You know I don't like leftovers. This was
too good for his leftovers.
We have a show. I can't.
It's leftovers.
When would you like me to cook it?
I don't know. It's leftovers.
It
you just giving us leftovers.
2 hour rises.
So I eat leftovers for lunch like every day.
Yeah, but you don't bring them in and say, "Hey guys, here's my leftovers. You want them?"
I can't make you fresh baked things like that. By the way, what is it if I bake you, like, let's say quick bread? I bake you banana bread and then give it to you the next day. Isn't that the same thing?
No.
That's a leftover.
Is this loaf already cut? Have you already cut into this? Like, are we getting just like you had a whole loaf and there was like three pieces left at the end of it.
I chose the middle pieces.
Okay, well, at least you did that.
Like, I chose the middle pieces for you, for what it's worth. I saved middle pieces.
Okay.
Like, I could
in the container, like in the container you brought in the container you brought it in. Does it have like all the crumbs from the other ones in the same container, or did you put it in a fresh container? Thank you. Okay, we're good. That's my concern.
It's like a lot of rules you have for leftovers.
I'm just saying.
Serta does eat leftovers every day.
No, there's nothing wrong with eating. I was just saying the fact that you were having us eat your leftovers.
Well, I wanted it fresh because it took like.
That's all. We're
good. It didn't take a lot of hands-on time, but it took like 6 hours to make.
I'll eat his, too.
If he doesn't want it, it's fine.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm going to try it. We'll see. That's coming up in the next segment.
It's going to taste it and throw it in the garbage because it's a leftover. It's not fresh.
We'll see.
Would you prefer to pop it in the oven? I can leave right now if you'd like that instead of the microwave.
Text line says I should be very grateful for you bringing them in.
Did you see the pictures? It looked delightful.
It did look good. It looks way better than that fruitcake-looking thing that was like a fake cake.
Not a fake cake. It was bread.
There you go. Someone says, very high maintenance for a free dish. Huh? I brought in Uncrustables.
which we all ate, and apparently Whit Merrifield loves. So you're good.
That's right. Thinking of Whit and the Royals, yesterday was massive for them because not only did get you back on the winning side of things and keep you over 500, as they've been over 500 all year here through seven games, but it was against a White Sox team that had your number, to say the least. And I understand each season's a new season, but it did go back to last year, and it was six straight losses. And I know Vern kind of mentioned it, and I thought it was interesting, and we'll see as the season goes on. He's like, he doesn't think maybe the White Sox even like respect the Royals, almost like the disrespect that's between the two, because they have owned the Royals.
You don't respect who you just destroyed.
Exactly. So I think there was some of that yesterday that was big, but also just for the psyche of the team to beat a White Sox team that did have their number. That's massive in its own right. Then the other part of it is, right, the other part overall for me with the Royals and where they're at is Santana and Benintendi. It had been slow going early on. Maybe yesterday was what was needed to get them going. Benintendi at the plate and Carlos Santana, the two newest members of the Royals, had their best impact games at the plate. Michael A. Taylor, new Royal, has been great since opening day. He's got to hit every single game so far this year. He's been terrific. But it was slow going for Santana. Yeah, he was patient at the plate. We like that. But at some point, you were waiting for that big hit, that timely hit, a home run. It happened at the most opportune time yesterday. That was on the just individual game level yesterday was massive for me for the Royals.
It was who they beat, how they beat them, at what stage of the season they beat them. It's their biggest win in 2 years. The last 2 years, they started so slow, you almost couldn't even have a big game. They were so bad at the beginning of the season, they couldn't have a big game. But there was a psyche thing late in the season last year where you're like, hey, maybe beat the White Sox. That's a team that keeps kicking your teeth in, is going to stand in your way for multiple years. Get them, finally. And I know they're without two of their best players. Kansas City has a injured Dozier who's in the lineup but got pinch hit for late. And Mondesi without there. So congratulations, we're without two of the best players too, right? Like, both teams are in a similar situation. You can say what you want about Eloy Jimenez and Tim Anderson, whether they're better or not, versus the players they're missing. But both teams are missing important players for their lineup. And it was... they had the lead. The bullpen was good. They blew it late. It felt like they let one get away in the bottom of the eighth inning. Like, it was a knife to the heart. And they didn't let it do it because Carlos Santana hit a home run. It was a massive, I do mean massive game for the psyche of the Royals. And they now have the same number of wins they did last year against the White Sox. And now it's Brady Singer Day. So now we get to have this whole, like, he was bad in his first start.
Yes.
Just like Brad Keller was bad in his first start. And he wasn't able to back it up, Keller. But this is a huge swing thing because the other guys have been pitching okay. Miner's been battling. Duffy was good. It is time, and Keller was bad. We know that.
Yeah.
But it was, now it's Singer's time to like put a stamp on this thing and let's go back to back and get to 5-3.
And it feels like it's been a month since Singer really pitched, just because of the way the off days work. But yeah, I mean, that's why, if you're being optimistic about the situation, we asked Whit about it. You know, you're 4-3 and you guys clearly haven't played your best baseball yet. 4-3, nope. You just outlined it there, Cody. The injuries that exist on the roster. Mondesi hasn't even been on the
opening. Haven't played that good at baseball, for being honest.
No, and very fortunate to be 4-3. But also, again, if you're being optimistic, you're like, you're 4-3. You haven't had your best pitchers play or pitch like their best pitchers on the staff at all yet. You've had two blown saves already in this season. And Carlos Santana and Andrew Benintendi, the guys at the top of the order, other than Whit, really haven't hit yet.
Nope.
And it's been the bottom of the order that's carried you, which is a great, great thing for those, for Michael A. Taylor and Nicky Lopez, who I think, again, deserves a lot of credit.
He's done a very good job.
He's been extremely solid, done more than you could have asked for. I think absolutely deserves a ton
really
of credit.
Really good job.
He has, and that's been a great sign to see. But all these things have been going on, and yet you're still 4-3. Heck, I mean, I think going forward, too, as roles are defined in the bullpen, you're going to feel a lot better. Like, they have depth in the bullpen. Yesterday, we know, I think Jesse Hahn to this point has shown that at least right now, seven games in, you got to take him out of the high leverage situations. He's for whatever reason, the success he had from last year, it's not carried over yet here in 2021 from him. But you know what's good? You feel really good. The two guys I feel the best about in the pen, based on the high leverage situations and what they've shown, Scott Barlow and Kyle Zimmer. Kyle Zimmer has been fantastic.
Great.
Which is another huge positive for them, certainly in the 10th inning yesterday. Jesse Hahn can still have a role on this team. Right now, though, you have too many other good options in those high leverage situations where there's no need for me to push Jesse Hahn anymore in those leverage situations until he kind of gets back on track. I'm not saying in June or July he can't be that guy, but right now you've got Barlow and Zimmer, and Holland gave me a little bit more confidence after yesterday. I was starting to get iffy about him, but he was great in two innings yesterday. And Stalmont eventually is going to get more of those opportunities.
Look, they've had some dominant, like, guys who have played great. Wiz played great from day one. Kyle Zimmer, as you'd mentioned, has pitched a little over six innings and has allowed a singular hit. And came in a game last night where they only managed to get one, even though the guy on second and then the run scored before the second out even occurred. And you would have thought, well, I mean, thought there was a pretty good chance they were going to get more there. But they only got one, and then Zimmer came in and completely shut down the 10th. I would say the theme to the beginning part of this has been fight. That has been the most encouraging sign. There have been times over the last two or three seasons where I have watched a baseball team feel like it had to lose some fight. Not the entire team, not every player. I would never say that about some players because they fight till the bitter end no matter what. But this team has been incredibly resilient, to be honest. For a team that hasn't done a lot of winning, they have fought through a lot of issues in the early part of that and have really leaned on a couple of big-time performers. Kyle Zimmer, Whit Merrifield, Nicky Lopez, as we had previously mentioned, or Josh Stalmont when he's pitched,
yeah,
and have shown a lot of resolve in the early part of the year. It does make you feel better because that's a tough thing to know about a team. And like a lot of that goes down to chemistry. And if you're not willing to give up on the guy next to you, because they have not played perfect. They did not play good offensive baseball yesterday. They haven't played good offensive baseball in a week. It's been a week since they played good offensive baseball. And that hasn't stopped them from getting to 4-3. That's important.
And that's if you're always trying to judge, like, how can you judge a manager throughout a season? I think what you just said, though, the fight and where they're at, like, that Mike Matheny gets a lot of credit for that, for the mindset of the team. I think also, despite the two issues with Jesse Hahn that we've seen already here in the young season, overall, his management of the bullpen, I think we both really like what Mike Matheny's done. We saw it last year, too, which is, hey, if it's the seventh inning, but the heart of the order's up, I'm not afraid to go to my best guy in the seventh inning. So be it. And that continues to happen. Early on, you can figure out the roles for guys. I think what has happened, though, you've already got the answer on one guy, as I said, where you feel even more confident in Kyle Zimmer and less confident, I think you have to feel less confident in a Jesse Hahn right now. You just do, which is fine because they've got options and depth in the bullpen. It certainly you would love for Jesse Hahn to not be put in the situation where he's given up that home run to Adam Eaton. And we talked about that Cleveland Indians game where Jose Ramirez beat you twice. And it was two pitches in a row that essentially you gave where Ramirez wanted it, and you got away with it the first time, you couldn't the next. But overall, it was just a really nice sign for this team going forward. And now you get 10 games in a row at home. You don't have off days. Hopefully the weather cooperates and everything like that. You can get in a rhythm, which might be the answer to some of this offense of issues. I'm talking about Santana and Benintendi. Did yesterday springboard those guys? Did that get them going and get in some rhythm, not having an off day? Hunter Dozier, we don't know on the thumb, right? We'll learn later today when the lineup's out where things are at with him as he was pulled. But is it the injury more than anything for Dozier? Is it the off days? He didn't have a hit yet.
Nope.
He didn't have a hit here in the young season.
Could be a lot of things.
The fact that he had the thumb issue is why he, of course, missed time. But now is it just trying to get back in the flow, or is the thumb a bigger problem than we realized?
It could be a little of both. Truthfully, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to read into that, but those things will play themselves out. I'll give Dozier a pass right now because they're truthfully, you can call them excuses, but there are reasons. There are reasons why Dozier would start slow. Thumb coupled with weird off days, coupled with extra days off he had for the thumb.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not easy to get in a rhythm at that point. They got 10 consecutive games. He plays in all 10. I would imagine by then, if he's still cold, then we can have a conversation.
We'll talk more about the bullpen here in about 10 minutes. It's also your next chance at $1,000 in our cash contest. But we are, 17 days away from the NFL draft. The Chiefs will select at pick 31. And if you think you know who the Chiefs are picking at pick 31, you can go to 610sports.com right now. You'll see the Cody and Gold draft predictor. All you got to do, you click on there, you type in who you believe the Chiefs will pick at 31. And if you're correct, you'll be entered to win an autographed full-size Tyreek Hill helmet. Really cool stuff. If you're a memorabilia guy or not, just a diehard Chiefs fan. And if the Chiefs trade out of the first round, well, then everybody that enters a pick, whether you're right or wrong, will be entered for that as well. So,
well, you don't be wrong at that point.
That's to say, whether you're right or wrong. Like, everybody's entered.
Oh, well, I was just saying you're wrong because they didn't take anybody.
Yeah.
Although, in fairness, they could, I guess, technically take them in the second round. You wouldn't necessarily.
That's why I said right or wrong.
You're neither right or wrong, I guess, in that case.
Just go to 610sports.com and fill out the Cody and Gold draft predictor.
Schrodinger's cat. That's a real stuck situation there.
But with the draft, we know Trevor Lawrence is going number one, and we know that if you have a top three pick, you're probably taking a quarterback this year. But Jeremy Schapp was trying to convince people that, you know what, you actually don't want to do that, Cody. Just listen to this.
Oh, come on.
What's amazing about the way teams position themselves for the NFL draft and the way they actually draft is how they utterly refuse to learn the lessons of draft history. All the machinations, all the hours spent analyzing this player, breaking down that player, when at the end of the day, this is to a large degree a crapshoot, as in your guess is as good as mine. It's like those cats and turtles who fill out the winning March Madness brackets, especially at quarterback, the position hardest to evaluate, and yet the one at which every team seems convinced they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, seriously, is Zach Wilson really better than Sam Darnold? Who knows? Maybe he's the next Johnny Unitas. Maybe he's the next Geno Smith. In 2017, the Bears traded four picks to move up one spot to draft Mitchell Trubisky at second overall. They could have kept all those picks and taken Patrick Mahomes with room to spare. He went 10th. With the exception of the rare, very rare, almost impossibly rare sure thing, a la John Elway or Peyton Manning, you're probably better off using that top pick on an offensive lineman or linebacker. Late in the first round, after all, you can get an Aaron Rodgers. Or in the second, a Drew Brees. Or if you wait all the way until the sixth, Tom Brady. In the last 50 NFL drafts, 44 quarterbacks have been selected first, second, or third overall. And exactly two have gone on to win Super Bowls as the starters for the teams that drafted them. Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning.
Okay, so his facts aren't facts, like the numbers and who was drafted where.
But also ignoring John Elway and Eli Manning.
He is saying essentially that you should value the quarterback at pick 190 more than pick one. That if you have pick three this year and you're the Niners, you should take an offensive lineman or a linebacker. Come on now. This is ridiculous. Yeah, you're going to like all these quarterbacks we're talking about, Lawrence and Wilson and Fields and Trey Lance and all that. Yeah, all of them aren't going to pan out. We know that, right? There's a very good chance two at minimum of them are going to turn out to be busts. We know that. But if you have a top five pick and you don't have a quarterback of the future, yeah, you're taking a quarterback. It's a no brainer. It's ridiculous. And he references Brady in the sixth round. Stop. That's not the norm either. To suggest that, well, you could just wait to the sixth round and you might land into the greatest quarterback of all time.
Better to pick 10th because Come that's on. Where Patrick Mahomes
ridiculous.
Went. Are we ignoring J.P. Lossman?
That's just absurd.
Or Byron Leftwich, who probably went around those picks or so.
That's crazy.
In the NFL draft. First, it is completely ignoring the fact the John Elway and Eli Manning, who both won multiple Super Bowls for the teams that actually did pick them, okay? Like, I know that they were technically picked by another team and then traded. They didn't show up for one damn day of work for the other team. So we don't get a claim that they weren't chosen by that team. That team essentially chose that player. If anything, they gave up more assets than just where that player was chosen in the top three, because they gave up that plus, you know, like in the Chargers or in the Giants case, they gave up a little bit more to get Eli instead of him. So not only did they invest a top three pick, they actually invested more. So to say that that's not on the team is silly. That is ignoring five Super Bowls, by the way. And he's saying only two of them won. Okay, so five, and then the one for Peyton Manning that he won with Indianapolis too, technically, because he was still picked third overall and still won two Super Bowls. Now we're up to seven Super Bowls he's ignoring, right? That are going on the other end. Or six, I guess, because he's counting one for the Colts. And now he's, we're talking about, like I've already told you, this is now like a quarter of all the Super Bowls. Well, good, bad news. A quarter of the other Super Bowls were won by Tom Brady. So like this logic doesn't make any sense. Mike Sando correctly pointed out, by the way, that by this logic, you shouldn't take anyone in the top three. It's a bad decision. Only 12 of 150 players have started in Super Bowl team who have won Super Bowls who did that. Guess why? Bad teams pick one through three. The Bengals take a bunch of players who don't win Super Bowls. It has nothing to do with the guy. You can't actually think it's a bad idea to take a quarterback in the top.
No, it's
the only choice.
It's nuts if you're any of these teams, like to suggest that you should go in a different position. My favorite, though, is when he points out the quarterbacks that were selected in the second round that had success. Like, that's an everyday thing. You know how many other quarterbacks? He mentions Drew Brees, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, of course.
Geno Smith.
You know how many other second-round quarterbacks have been drafted are nobodies? Look, Drew Locke has at least started some games, but like, come on now. I mean, you know, if you consider like, oh, but you can wait and you can get someone like that in the second round. Come on. That's just not realistic. And look, you can bring up Mitchell Trubisky. I think we all know that was a horrible pick. There will be horrible picks this year. Spoiler alert. There will be a couple horrible picks in this year's draft. It just happens. But you got to roll the dice. If you have a top three pick this year, you're taking a quarterback. Absolutely. Even if it fails, you're taking a quarterback. That's crazy. That was Jeremy Schapp over on ESPN. Hey, coming up next, your chance at $1,000 in our cash contest. We'll talk more about this Royals bullpen, and I guess we'll try this pizza roll, whatever it's called, from Cody.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest momentarily. Cody is dropping off pieces of this pizza roll thing, majig, whatever you want to call it. He's in the studio with Serta now. He's on his way back in. So we're going to try that in a second. Also, the Royals announced they've made a roster move today. Jesse Hahn placed on the 10-day IL with right shoulder impingement syndrome. And Jake Newberry has been recalled from the alternate sites. A little Royals news, by the way, that's retroactive, or excuse me, earliest reinstatement for Jesse Hahn, April 22nd. Today's the 12th, so April 22nd, the earliest that Jesse Hahn can get back. We were just talking about Jesse Hahn, and we were going to talk about the bullpen here momentarily. But first, let's give you a chance, Cody, at $1,000.
You dash for the cash code word this hour is OCEAN, O-C-E-A-N, OCEAN. Text that over to 72881. You can be a $1,000 winner in our national cash contest. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. Cash contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. That's OCEAN, O-C-E-A-N, to 72881. I am offended you keep calling it a pizza roll. That's definitively not
what is it? It smells fantastic.
It
I
is,
will say that.
It is a pizza bread, essentially. It's supposed to be pull apart, right? So when the loaf came out, you could just pull pieces off.
Serta's already eating his.
Came with 8 slices. You could just pull the piece off. So, like, you know, maybe share it at a party if you wanted.
Okay. So it's very hot. I'm going to burn
myself.
It's
a fresh dough that has oregano in it and some other seasoning. And then it sits for a few hours, rises like a regular bread. Then you put together the cheese and the pepperoni. Then it rises again. Then it bakes for like 30 minutes and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
This is the microwaved day after version.
No, I understand.
Look, I can only do so much to provide you fresh food on the day.
I can definitely taste
just cheddar cheese.
I can definitely taste the microwave's
yes,
impact
be a sharp
on it.
Cheddar cheese, yes, sir. I considered some other cheeses, but man, that felt like the safe bet. That's what the recipe called for.
No, it's really good. I bet you fresh would be amazing. This is because it's got the microwave effect, but
Look, I would have put it in the oven, but it felt like it was going to just take too much time.
No, it's really good. It tastes like...
That's too much time.
It's yeah, it tastes like I'm eating a pepperoni pizza. It's very good.
Okay, great. Look, you asked for something sweet and savory. I have offered you now the savory.
Uh-huh.
You can try the chocolate chunk sourdough cookie later. Serta, what's the verdict? Are you pleased with your pizza pull-apart bread?
Yeah, it's good.
Doesn't it just taste like pizza? I mean, which is fine. It's very good. The pizza.
I mean, it should kind of taste like, but there's no sauce, right?
That's what's, it's very good. Some people don't like sauce, so I could see this being a good alternative. There's a lot of people don't like heavy sauce.
Okay. That is a good alternative. Gold was impressed by the size of the pepperoni that I had found.
Pepperoni on steroids. Yeah.
It's just a regular pepperoni slice. It's just bigger. Yeah. It's bigger than just like, I guess if you buy the like, whatever the like regular brand of like the bag with
Hormel?
The zip tie on it.
Hormel?
Yeah. I need a,
this
I'm
is
a
just
sauce
the
guy. I like, well, a, I like a sweet sauce.
Okay, well, I gave you a little
marinara.
Bit of sauce to
I'm
dip
I'm not
it
even
in.
Dipping it in the marinara. I don't need it. It's good.
That's I gave you that as an option.
I'm also starving, so this is fantastic.
Just perfect time for you to have lunch.
Well, because this Kickstart, the sugar drink that Serta gave us earlier, is I'm not even a quarter of the way through it. The first three sips were fine. And, yeah.
At some point, you're going to have the cookie and let us know. But sounds like that's a hit. I have completed
one thing
it.
An
We've
hour, man.
Everything.
Hour one is the energy drink. Hour one and a half or so is the Uncrustable. We're now into the pizza. And
part
and
of the portion, then later you can have
bread,
the
and then we'll get to the cookie on the one.
You seem less
hour.
Critical of this than some of the. Now, of course, you didn't like the cheesecake as much because I made it with
cheesecake,
ricotta.
And cheesecake was a no-go for me.
It was good cheesecake. You just don't like ricotta cheesecake.
There's plenty of people think ricotta cheese is nasty. This is very good, though.
I had the cookie like an hour ago.
I specifically chose that baked dish because I figured it wasn't gonna. You would be fine. I'm not always gonna do that. This
I appreciate
I
that.
It's pizza.
Look at you.
The,
very
I knew,
nice.
I knew that
you.
This would be a win with you. So Jesse Hahn gets sent down.
Yeah, how about that? Wow, he's on IL. Yeah.
Well, sorry. He
all of a sudden he's got an injury. Yeah.
Look, I don't know if this is like we used to play a game on a previous show, which was real or fake, right? Is this injury real or is it a case of the can't get anybody outsies? Which certainly happens with bullpen arms. They have done that many times before. It usually comes in the form of shoulder or arm fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Impingement is serious. I assume that they wouldn't just say that has been, but that's also something you could pitch through. He could have had that issue immediately, then played through it. Obviously, with any injury, you hope that that's the real reason why he was having a case of the can't get anybody outsies.
Yep.
Jake Newberry has actually been a sneakily efficient bullpen arm for the Royals for years. Like, he just gets called up whenever they need him, and when he gets called up, he's fine. He's never like the star of the show. He's not the guy you want closing in the ninth. But Jake Newberry is the not-do-too-much-wrong guy, which I can fully appreciate out of a bullpen arm. But if they want to be a top-five bullpen, like I said they can be, they need Jesse Hahn back. They need elite arms. And Newberry's a guy, for the most part. I really like what he does for the team. It doesn't screw things up. But do you actually believe it's a real injury that's causing his problems to not pitch well? Or is it, you know, the let's send him to the IL to fix things problem.
I mean, I hope it's not a serious injury, but also it would explain perhaps some of the struggles he has had with locating pitches.
Yes.
If that's the case, then okay. Well, then if that's the case and it's a short IL stint and it's something that doesn't need to take months to get healthy from, then it's a good thing. But we'll see. I'm sure, I think what Mike Matheny will speak later today, maybe we'll get a little bit more information on kind of how they view that. We'll also maybe get some more information later today on the timeline for Adalberto Mondesi as well with his oblique injury that he's been dealing with. Obviously hasn't been on the roster yet to start the season, but a little bit of Royals news. We were going to talk about the bullpen anyway, because I think you've got your roles and now this clears it up even more so. So we were saying, you know, I don't think Jesse Hahn should be in high leverage situations. Well, now he's on the IL anyway. So that's something that they'll get worked out to begin with. But Scott Barlow, Kyle Zimmer, Staumont, once he gets even more back from COVID and everything like that,
Those
are the three guys I trust the most in the pen. And Wade Davis certainly
Holland probably
Wade Davis on opening day was impressive. Holland yesterday regained some confidence for me at least in his performance, because we know the last time out wasn't the same way. So that was nice to see two innings from Greg Holland. He was very good yesterday. Hopefully that gets him rolling.
Well, Wade Davis, first of all, he hasn't pitched. He's pitched almost every game. He's pitched seven innings for this team. They've only played seven games, Gold. And in those seven innings, he's allowed six hits because he allows six hits. He's walked three guys, so he's let base runners on. He's only allowed one run. That's all you need to know. By the way, that's good for a 1.29 ERA, which was peak Wade Davis. If every seven games he pitches in, he allows one run, you will live your life. These are the guys now officially, like maybe not the power arms they used to be, right? Wade Davis and Greg Holland are not the guys you were counting on to be the back two inning guys that they were before. And Holland obviously has only pitched three innings and has allowed a couple of runs in that one outing. He's had two very good outings, including a two inning stint yesterday. I would tell you, I feel as good about this bullpen as I have since 2015. This is a top, this has the potential to be a top five bullpen in all of baseball. I think it's a top 10 bullpen right now. I think on depth alone, it's probably top seven. Some of that is me relying on, you know, who comes behind. Because again, Jake Newberry is an experienced, technically veteran reliever. And that's the first guy you call up from the system before you even get to the power arms like Daniel Lynch or somebody maybe you put into the bullpen in a more permanent status. That's what makes me think Jesse Hahn's stint down on the IL is short.
Hopefully.
When it's longer term, they might explore some other options. Newberry has pitched for this team each of the last 3 years. 13 innings 3 years ago, 31 innings 2 years ago, 22 innings last year. He always finds his way into the major league roster. As I've told you, he is a perfectly fine pitcher. What we're looking for is elite. Because what I think Kansas City has, here's something I'll tell you about the bullpen, Gold. They have something special and different than they have had multiple years, including 2015 and in 2015 from a bullpen's perspective. They have four guys I think can go multiple innings. Kyle Zimmer can go multiple innings. Carlos Hernandez can go multiple innings. Jacob Junis can go multiple innings if he's not the fifth starter. We just saw Greg Holland go multiple innings. Before, they were one inning guys, sometimes four outs, maybe five if you were stretching them. Isn't this different than what we've seen before? They have a lot of guys who can go two, three innings if they have to go that route.
They got flexibility. They got flexibility in the bullpen, which is a welcome sign, no question about that. We'll talk more about the Royals coming up in just a little bit. Also, if you missed our conversation with Whit Merrifield, we'll bring that back to you around 1:30 or so. The Whit Merrifield Show every Monday at 11 here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to the random question of the day in just a second, but just did want to pass along one news item. NBC 41 Action News reporting here in Kansas City that former Chiefs outside linebacker coach Britt Reed has been charged with DWI related to that February crash that critically injured the five-year-old girl. And so that's what they're calling as a D-level felony, punishable up to 7 years in prison. That's from 41 Action News. So an update on, obviously, the situation that's been going on since February and that terrible accident that occurred the week of the Super Bowl.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City. So for you, Gold, for you, Certain, over in the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. This in relation to the story we did on What's Trending, where Alex Rodriguez, along with another billionaire, he's not a billionaire, but with a billionaire, are going to buy up the Timberwolves. Well, there's been rumors that him and J-Lo have been on the rocks. So in relation to that, what I want to know, text line, 913-576-7610, and from you two, although I know you haven't had any super long relationships, what's the dumbest thing?
I was going to say, 3 months, I'm not getting bent out of shape over that.
What's the dumbest thing you've done post-breakup?
I think like anybody, sure like, just go like, and get drunk or whatever. But like again, it was like you're not getting that bent out of shape over 3 months.
I mean, you were probably still a little sad. That's your longest relationship.
Yeah, but that was
what was the nice gal's name? She lived in this town?
Yes.
The hesitation there. I didn't even ask. I dropped the name thing. I just said, yeah, did she live in this town?
We won't live in the main. Mention the name.
Does she live in town? You said, and maybe she doesn't live in town now. I don't know.
I don't know. What was yours?
It's better that you don't mention the name, because then I'm going to search it, right?
Yeah.
That's like, I'm going to try to go look her up.
This is also part of the reasoning.
You can tell me off the air.
Mm-hmm.
What? I've told you.
I don't want to share some of
them. Their names or what you did post-breakup?
What did you...
What are you guilty of? Well, now the listeners are curious.
I could get in serious trouble for. It's just... It's not something that I just want to make public because it doesn't make me seem like a good person.
Oh, okay.
The vaguity of that just intrigues me greatly. Will you tell me off the air?
I would hope you would tell you.
I mean, I've done a lot of questionable things.
Oh.
Haven't we
more
all?
Than one relationship.
After? To get back at said individual or to just make you feel better?
Sure.
Can it be both?
Is it what?
Can it be both? Now we're trying to narrow it down. He just keeps being more vague.
Interesting.
Oh, man. I feel like I am kind of in a weird way asking people to snitch on it. So, as you know, I've been with my wife a very long time. So, really, the only other two longer-term relationships I had during that were, like, way back when I was a teenager. And the stupidest thing I did, like you said, like, you certainly do drink during those occasions. But I think obviously the bad decisions you make are hanging out with people that they also know. Right. Like you're like, hello, this is someone you know. Someone said they slept with their ex's coworker
the next day.
Not even their friend, their coworker. God, they got to work with that person.
Someone said they called her back the next day. They're like, probably shouldn't have you. Like, after
that, by the way, that qualifies as a bad decision. That happened. See, I told you that happened on the flip side. We broke up once and then I got the like, hey, I regret it. I'm like, I don't.
So you think A-Rod is just out here buying franchises to make himself feel better? Haven't there been conflicting reports whether A-Rod and J-Lo are actually separated? Or is that a done deal now? Is that done?
I don't think it's a done deal.
A couple of weeks ago when it was reported that they did break up, they released like a statement saying that they did not break up.
And but now there's still rumors that they're going to break up.
They were like working on things, but now there's rumors circulating again that they broke up again because of like cryptic Instagram stuff. I don't know. I don't follow it that closely.
Yeah. You sounded like you followed it really closely.
You had a lot of details there.
I looked it up because I wasn't sure if they were broken up.
I think maybe they're broken up. I think a lot of us make some bad decisions when it comes to that. A lot of it comes to like...
Someone said they bought a car, midlife crisis.
Oh, no.
They just went out and bought a car. Wanted to feel better.
There's probably some people on the text line who have gotten divorced and then made some of those same mistakes. The car is not a... Like, you shouldn't make any important life decision after a very serious breakup.
I mean, if you're really bummed out, why don't you take a trip to Vegas? You're like, you know what? Yeah.
Well, that's also that where bad on, decisions
no,
could be
not
made.
Really. I mean, it happens on a Thursday. You're like, you know what? Screw it. First flight out on Friday to Vegas. Let's go. Make you feel better for
did
the weekend.
Did you go get drunk after you broke
that's
up with the girl?
That's what I told you, yeah. I didn't go to Vegas. That would be that would have been a great idea, though.
I'm not making any judgments.
People have gone to Vegas to do that. Right after. Why not?
That does seem like it'd be kind of a good decision. Although, I don't know. It depends on, like, you know, you got to make sure that there's some parameters in line.
I mean, you don't go by yourself. You see if one of your buddies can also hop on the flight, too. You're not going there by yourself. That'd be bad.
God, I can think of some like friends and siblings. I can't put everybody on blast, can I? Can we just wait for the snitch line on Thursday for me eventually to like out some people and some of the decisions they've made in those situations? I guess this isn't the right group for that. Serta's apparently done awful things he can't tell everybody. You haven't been in a relationship long enough, and I've been in my relationship too long.
You've piqued our interest, though, quite a bit, Serta, on what you were describing.
Like, yeah, now I'm just not going to talk about it.
I got all kinds of things floating around in my mind, though, about what you could have done. Yeah, some of them are very good, and some of them are not.
No, this is a total BS position to put me and Gold in, because Cody has been married forever. He knows he doesn't have any skeletons in the closet, and so he's just putting us in a precarious position that could possibly lead to me not sounding like a great person on the air.
Touche. I was just trying to relate it back to something. The only other random question I thought of was because I got my hair cut yesterday, and we can just burn through that one now. And there were like six people in a row who walked in.
Okay.
And they say, have you an appointment? No. Okay, we're backed up to like two. I was like, how many people are? And so my other question was going to be, do you make an appointment when you get your haircut? I do 1,000% of the time. I never just walk in to get my haircut. I always make an appointment and then go get my haircut. Before COVID, by the way.
It depends. Always made so an like there's a certain place that I go. If I will make an appointment. Or like if I'm in a pinch, I'll do one of those where you can check in on the app. And
that's making an appointment in my mind.
Does that count? 20-minute check-in?
Okay. I check in online.
So to answer your question, yeah, either check in or I actually have a scheduled appointment. I'm just showing up.
There were six people in a row that seemed surprised. They were so busy.
You know you're going to be waiting for a while. Nobody wants to be waiting around anytime. So,
but all these people just thought they'd just walk in and get a haircut. I was surprised by this development. That was the only other one I had. I thought this relationship one, because A-Rod was doing some questionable things post his breakup, was better. But yes, I guess you served as the person I was putting in a spot.
Buying an NBA franchise, man, there's nothing questionable about that. That's a sure moneymaker.
Yeah, but I just feel like you shouldn't make any major financial transactions post-breakup.
If you're A-Rod, you're fine.
Like, I feel like you should,
you're
like...
You're fine if you're A-Rod.
The people on the text line already think I'm an awful
people
person.
People are crushing you.
Someone says 913. No one operating under the assumption that you were a good person. I don't think anyone listening thinks Serta is a good person. What the hell? Why is the text
like
this?
That's brutal. That's fine.
That's brutal. Wow.
Someone says, is it safe to say J-Lo is the problem? She has been twice divorced.
There's nothing wrong with J-Lo.
Oh, she does no wrong here?
Nothing wrong with J-Lo.
She's not responsible for the relationship issues?
It's clearly A-Rod's fault. Yeah.
Hasn't she been married a couple of times?
Doesn't matter. It's J-Lo. She's nothing wrong with her.
She's good.
She's good. She's worth $400 million, by the way.
She's worth more than he is.
She is.
Remember, they were going to do this together. This was going to be a joint purchase.
I blame the Mets.
They were going to do
the Mets.
It together.
If they were together, if they bought the Mets, I bet you they're not separated.
Oh, man. That's like buying a house together, but way worse.
How many people are in this investment group? I feel like A-Rod doesn't have enough money. And
he was totally
trying to pressure J-Lo into spending a bunch of money that she didn't want to on
a sports team.
She's
like, I only have $400 million, and you want me to give up $200 million of it to buy the Mets? I don't even know what baseball is. You think that's what happened?
He's like, come on. It's a great investment. We'll for sure get our money back.
Well, you're definitely not losing money buying an NBA team.
No, but you don't. It's not a short-term investment. I mean, you got to like hold your position
for a little while. Like A-Rod, he's worth $350 million. It's not as if he had to wire transfer $300 million for this. Like all of it. Like, he's got other partners in it. So like he might only actually put up $100 million or whatever.
He might put up 30.
Who knows, right? We don't know. He's he's one of the biggest names. So he's like, he might be the face of it. Look at Magic Johnson. He owns part of the Guggenheim Group, I believe. They own part of the Dodgers, right? And so he's one of the faces. But he doesn't, I don't know, he owns the biggest share.
He's also worth way more money.
I understand. I'm just saying. I'm just saying where things are at.
Now we're looking up to how much money did Magic Johnson.
Well, just his net worth. You can just use.
He's worth $1 billion, isn't he?
$600 million.
I was about to say, I feel like he's worth like
more double
money.
A-Rod, though.
Yeah, that's not. Look, it might not sound like a lot, $350 to $600 million, but there's a big difference in $250 million, right? At some point.
Massive.
Because if he had that amount more money, Magic Johnson would almost damn near be a billionaire.
That's right. Eventually, Mahomes will own a professional, more ownership of a professional team than even what he owns right now.
We don't know what chunk of the royalties.
I mean,
$2 billion. So, yeah, Magic Johnson is a very small portion of that. Now, look, you can take out some loans on some of that. I'm not saying you got to just like foot the bill, like cut a check, but you got to have a decent amount. I mean, there's reports like with the Royals ownership, he gave up he had a pretty good chunk of change invested in Cleveland before coming over here to buy the Royals. So I'm not saying it's a bad investment. It clearly is a good investment, but I just I feel like you should make those kinds of investments post breakup.
Sounds like he was already thinking that.
It's like a divorce breakup, man. You don't make a lot of good decisions when you're ending a long-term relationship.
I think it's different though if you're like when you're worth $300 million,
you can afford to make
like,
the bad
people
decisions.
People on the text line were mentioning, "Oh, I decided to buy a car midlife crisis." If A-Rod, there's not much A-Rod could buy where you're like, "That was a terrible like he didn't make it. This isn't a bad investment for A-Rod."
Yeah, but if he bought a Lambo, I'd been like, come on, man.
And even, that would have been way less money, so it would have been
I know,
really
you,
nothing.
Like, lose money. Like, that car's not worth it, but come on, man. You're doing this because you broke up.
If you're worth $300 million and you want to go buy a car for a half
million,
I don't know how much a Lamborghini is, but, like, you're going to be fine. Yeah. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, A-Rod can afford to take that loss.
Someone says, I bet Serta loves A-Rod because he's a cheater.
Yeah.
It's not universal for all cheaters.
I think it is.
I mean, I do appreciate how hard he lied about it when we, like, definitively knew that he was lying.
Yeah.
I've told you. A-Rod, to me, is way more like... We've had this discussion.
And I've told you he's
way more
not.
Likable post-playing career than he ever was as a player. I don't mind him post-playing career at all. I have no problem.
You just said he's worth $350 million. Uh-huh. And he went out here in public and told the players to take less money to play baseball because, be nice. No, I'm not siding with that dude.
By the way, text line 913 says they to get over breakup blew their 401k on two nights in New Orleans.
Well, I hope it was awesome.
I hope your 401k is large, but I also in that scenario, I hope you did not have much in your 401k.
I mean, yeah, how long did he even like investigate?
Maybe it was only like 24 or something. Took the penalties, took 10
take
grand,
that,
and
take
said,
that withdrawal penalty.
Let's make some bad decisions. I kind of respect it.
Oh, man.
This was the point of the conversation. I figured the text line could help move the needle. Apparently, Serta has done some questionable things he doesn't want to discuss.
I can't wait till we get to break to find out some of the
details.
I can't wait.
Now I've put him in a precarious location.
We're also like 2 hours away from this NBA Top Shot. Legendary drop pack. Only 2,400 of them. It's $1,000 to buy a pack. Cody and I are trying to get this thing at 3:00. And if so, we'll open the pack on the air tomorrow.
The waiting room opens in an hour. I feel like I should just get in right away because I want to make sure I'm in it before any problems get caused. I know that hasn't been everyone's strategy in this world.
I'm a believer that whatever's going to happen is going to happen already. So I don't know. I'm a big believer in that. That you can't really change that kind of stuff. Like
I can't change my fate.
The computer already knows if we're getting one or not. They already know. It's already going to happen.
I hope they've decided because of all the times I haven't gotten a pack.
Yeah.
That today's the day. How does it feel to be the person who gets like spot one? Like, incredible. Do you believe it when you see it?
I mean, that's how I felt like 333 when we were writing that one time. It's better than the person that is five spots outside of getting it. How sick would you be if you were five spots short of getting the pack? You'd be sick.
I would call in sick tomorrow. To be clear,
it's
gone. If I lose by five spots tonight on this, I'm not going to come into work tomorrow. I will not be here.
Well, there we
I
go.
I am sick.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully that's not the case. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. I'll continue eating some of this pizza pull apart bread that Cody brought in. Also, Cody tells me he's got a solution for my Jayhawks.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.